Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Sukkah Lamites. We begin at the two dots, which are six lines from the top of the Amid. The Mishnah discussed the Kriyas HaHalal. Now we have one perek within Halal, which has many psukim repeated. It's the perek Kuf Yud Ches of Tehillim. So it begins in the middle of Halal, begins with the words Hoidul Hashem Ki Toiv, then Yomer Na, etc., all the way to the end of Halal, where you have Hoidul Hashem again. So it's really one perek in Halal, we divide it, but it's really one perek. And most of those psukim actually repeat it. So the concepts are said twice. Yimin Hashem Remeima, Yimin Hashem Oisechoyl, etc. The way you sing a song, you repeat, you emphasize, you get into it. But there are some psukim that were not doubled. However, the Mishnah told us there was a makom where they had a minigya to be kaifel, to repeat those psukim. So if you're living in a place where they have a minig, lichpoil, then go along with the minig. Makom shenagu lichpoil, then you as well should be kaifel, should repeat those psukim as well. We're speaking about those last psukim, starting from oitcha, all the way to the end, which are really only said once in the Tehillim itself. But in order to match it with the rest of the psukim, they would have a minute to repeat those psukim as we actually do today. Tana, we learned in a brice, Rebbe Kaifel Badvarn. Rebbe doubled. He repeated some of the psukim and was speaking actually only from Anu Hashem onward. We learned yesterday that everybody had the minute to say Anu Hashem twice. This would teach them an important lesson regarding the concept of the akatan reading for you. You have to repeat it after him. Ana Hashem Hatzlichna would be repeated because it would teach us about doubling psukim. We learned this yesterday. So once you started saying double from that point on, from Ana Hashem on, Rebbe added everything else all the way to the end of the perek. So all psukim would be doubled. Rabbi Lozer ben Parta Moisif Badvarim, he added more things. What does that mean? My Moisif, what would he add on top of Rabbi? Amar Abayi Moisif Lichpoil Mo'itcho Lamata. So he began his repetitions not from Ana Hashem onward. He went all the way back to Oitcho Ki'ani Soni, as we do today. So everything matches. All the psukim are doubled. The Mishnah spoke about a minhag hamokim levarich. So if the minig in that place was to make a bracha on Halal, Yivarach, go along with the minig. Which bracha are we speaking about? Before Halal or afterwards? Omar Abayi Leishonol L'Akrav. This that the Mishnah says that bracha is dependent upon minig, that's the bracha following Halal. Yaluch Hashem Lakenu, ending with Melech Mehulal Batesh Boches, as we do today. So that's minig dependent. Aval Afan of Mitzvah Levarach, but the bracha before Halal, everybody does that. That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to make a bracha before you say halal. Just like you make a bracha before any other ma'asa mitzvah. Halal is no different. The Amar Vida Amar Shmuel, kol mitzvahs kulan, mevorach aleihen, oiver lasiyosin. You meant to make a bracha before any mitzvah that you do. So oiver means in advance. The bracha precedes the mitzvah. Why does the Gemara use the word oiver, says the Ritva, to indicate that the bracha is meant to be recited very close to the ma'asa mitzvah. It's not enough that it's done in advance, it's done before. You're not meant to have a hefsek between the mitzvah and the bracha. That's why the Gemara chooses the words oyver lasiyasin within close proximity to the mitzvah. Umay mashma dai oyver lishna de agdumihu. What do we find? That the word oyver indicates advancement, indicates before. The Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Tichsiv Bayorot Achimatz Derech Hakikar. Achimatz ran through the plain Vayavar Sakushi, and he preceded. He arrived in advance of the Kushi. So we see Vayavar means in advance. So Oiver Lasiyosin means the mitzvah is after the bracha. The bracha is Oiver, advances the Asiyah. Abay Amar Mahoch, I have another source. V'hu Ovar Lufneim, this was by Yaakov Avinu, in preparation for his greeting, Esav, he went before. He stood before the family, who Avar lifnei. So we see that Avar is a lashon avim magdim, advancing ahead. Another pshat would be from here. Vayavar Malkum Lefneim, the Melech Mashiach, went ahead of Klal Yisrael, Hashem Baroshim, and Hashem is at their home. So we learn from here that every mitzvah that you do is meant to be preceded with a bracha. Now, why do we precede a mitzvah with a bracha? The Ritva provides two pshatim. It's actually Ritva and Psachim. He says, number one, because through the bracha, the person is miskadish. He elevates himself. He sanctifies himself, which enables him to perform the mitzvah on a higher level. Do you imagine a mitzvah with a bracha versus without a bracha? So the Ritva says, it makes sense that you first prepare yourself emotionally, mentally, spiritually with that bracha, which enables you to perform the mitzvah on a high level. That's number one. Number two, he says, the mitzvah is avodas hanefesh. It's a more of a spiritual type of service to Hashem. It's verbal, it's emotional, whereas the maasa mitzvah is more of a guf type of act. It's more of a physical act. He says it's roy, it's fitting. Sheyagdim avodas hanefesh l'avodas haguf. The mitzvah, which is primarily avodas hanefesh, is more internal, it's more personal, it's more intellectual and emotional. It's connected to one's nefesh. That stands higher, in a way, than the maasa mitzvah, which is a physical maasa. And therefore, you have to start up at the avodas hanefesh, and that allows you to come down and do the avodas haguf as well. So it's a bracha, avodas hanefesh, and then comes the mitzvah, avodas haguf. Interesting that Tosfos had a kashi regarding the bracha of mitzvahs lulav. So we learn that the bracha is meant to precede the mitzvah, over lasa yasin. How do we do that when it comes to shaking lulav? Tosfos brings the Gemara later that as soon as he picks up the lulav, he's already yotzei the mitzvah. So when do we make a bracha? He says it's not mistaver, the bracha will happen when it's still sitting in the kli. It's too far in advance. It doesn't relate to the masa. There's too much of a hefs. It doesn't make sense to make a bracha at that point. So when is it? Once you're holding it, it's too late. So Tosfos towards the end says that perhaps even though he picked it up and he's really yotze, but he still has the na'anuim to do. And that's considered part and parcel of the mitzvah process, although it's not critical, it's not mi'akev. Once you pick it up, you're really yotze. The na'anuim are just extra. You learned that the other day, it's just shiori mitzvah, it's ma'akven and sapronans, but it's just shiori mitzvah. But still he says, a chiddush, that it's not called gomra mitzvasai until after the na'anua. He brings the Gemara later on Mem Aleph about the minhag of Anshe Yerushalayim, who would walk around all day with their lulav. He says that we see lulav as a continuous thing. So technically you're yotze once you pick it up, but it still has more to it. It's not really completed and finished until the nanuim, until you walk around with it all day. It's enhanced. He calls it, it's an enhanced kiyuma mitzvah. And therefore, Tosfos suggests that you can still make the bracha even after you picked it up and you were yotze, because you still have more to do. But in the beginning, Tosfos presents two easy solutions to the problem. He says, you can just have kavana not to be yotze until you decide to be yotze, so, although you're holding it, but I don't want to be yotze. And even if you hold mitzvah, ein tzarach kavana to be yotze, it's not critical to have kavana. You yotze automatically, but not when I say I don't want to be yotze. You can't be yotze ba'al karcha, he says. That's an easy solution. Just pick up the lulav and esrog, and why are you doing so? Have in mind, I'm not going to be yotze. Make the bracha now. Have a mind to be yotze. Or another easy solution is turn over the esrog. It brings the Gemara that the mitzvah can only work if it's derech gedeilosan, the way it grows, right? So vertically, straight up. But if it's upside down, it's not the way it grows, and you're not yotze if you hold it that way. So this is the way most people in Lake this way, they would pick everything up, but turn it upside down while they're saying the bracha, and then turn it back up to be yotze that mitzvah. Okay, so Abaye was mechadish that a bracha before halal is universally accepted. Halal is a mitzvah derabbanan, which requires a bracha beforehand. The Mishnah speaks about the bracha after halal, and that indeed is dependent upon minhag hamakom. Says the Mishnah, it's the seventh year, and he's in Eretz Yisrael, everything has Kedusha Shvius. He goes over to the Lulav Esrog merchant, who happens to be an Am Oretz, who's not so careful with respect to the halachas of Shvius, all kinds of halachas they need to know, kinds of limitations and restrictions and time frames. He doesn't know, he's not aware, he's not really too careful with those halachas. So he wishes to purchase a lulav and an esrog and a hadasim and a rabbis from this amoritz. What is he meant to do? Says the Mishnah, noisenloi esrog b'matonu. He tried to convince the dealer to give him the esrog as a gift. Why? Because he cannot purchase the esrog outright from the amoritz on Shemitah. Why? Because the Gemara will explain. Okay, so the only solution at this point is have him give it to you as a gift. Apparently the lulav is not a concern. I think Gemara will elaborate on that. The esrog is a concern if purchased. So have him give it as a matana. Says the Gemara, loy rotza liten loy matana mal. What if the dealer refuses to give it to him as a gift? What do you do now? Amar Rav Huna, there's a way out. Mavliya leidme esrog belulav. Include the esrog price in the lulav price. So double the price of the lulav and include the esrog as well, in which case the esrog technically is being given to you as a gift. So you have no concerns. Okay, so either as a gift or included in the lulav price. Says, well, what's the problem to begin with? What's the concern with actually buying the esrog outright? Why can't he just pay him for the esrog outright? What's wrong with that? Now let's just stop for a second. Tosfos has a kasha. What do you mean? Buy an esrog on Shvius. The pasuk says, "V'hoisa Shabbos sa'oras lachem la'ochla." Shvius products are meant for consumption only. You can't deal with Shvius produce. Tomorrow is a drasha la'ochla v'lo l'schera. They're not meant to be used as a commodity. Ask Tosfos, what does the Gemara mean? Buy the esrog. You're not allowed to do business on Shvius. So he says it's not called schir. It's a chiddush in Tosfos. Schir is only when you're wheeling and dealing, using it as a commodity, and you're buying and selling. This fellow happens to have an esrog, and he's selling it pretty much at cost price, or at least close to cost price. He's not really looking to profit. This is not his business. And therefore, says Tosfos, there is no concern of schir. So you're not being over on that isr. That explains the Gemara's kasha. V'leisiv lebehedi. Why can't he just buy it outright? Why do you have to gift it or include it? Just buy it outright. Teretz, l'fishein moisrin to mei peiroi shviyas lamoritz. You're not meant to hand over shviyas money, meaning money in exchange for shviyas products. You're not meant to give that over to amoritz. This time, as we learned in the Brisa, ein moisrin to mei shviyas, mei peiroi shviyas lamoritz. Yoyser mimozen sholosh sudes. If the money you're giving the Amoritz is more than 3 meals worth of money, more than he needs to buy 3 meals, then you're not meant to give it to Amoritz. So let's see Rashi here. Somewhere in the middle of the Amid, beginning with the word Gemara. It says Rashi, Gemara mavliya leidmei esrog b'lulav. If you can't get it as a matana, have him include the price of the esrog and the price of the lulav. Yimkar lulav biyaker, you should buy the lulav biyaker, double the price. Ashi yitm le esrog matana, and have him give him the esrog as a gift. It would seem from Rashi that when he ups the price of the lulav to account for the esrog, in reality the esrog was given as a gift. In the Rambam, it would seem that he's really buying the esrog, but since the esrog money isn't discernible, because it's just included, it's behav law in the Dmei HaLulav, and that's not a concern, it's not really called Dmei Esrog. We find a similar concept by Schar Shabbos. You're not meant to earn from Shabbos work, but if it's included, behav law, it's swallowed into the whole weekly wage, there's no concern of Schar Shabbos. So either way, you up the price of the lulav to account for the esrog. Continues Rashi, but what about buying the esrog outright? What could be a concern with that? V'leisiv lei Dmei Esrog behedya. My time in Rashi l'loichem b'shvius. Why can't you buy an esrog? Ein meisrin d'mei peiros da'itoyer amra l'ochel v'yischer. What's wrong with giving the amoritz shvius money, funds in exchange for shvius fruit? answer is because it says in the Torah la'achla, Shvi's products are intended for consumption, as opposed to doing business with it. Shekoyl peyre Shvi's chayavan l'isbayr b'Shvi's. Rashi explains, all Shvi's fruit are meant to be consumed, meant to be eaten on Shvi's itself, on site. They're not meant to be hoarded. They're not meant to be profited from. Hein, udmein, the actual fruit, and the money received in exchange for that fruit, which also has kedusha Shvi's. They're meant to be consumed on Shvi's itself. As opposed to using it for profiting, to hoard it for after Shvi's, to get wealthy, to be used as a commodity. No, it's meant to be used as food, to be consumed on site, on Shvi's itself. The Ami Eretz chashudin al kach. The Ami Eretz are suspected of deviating, of misusing Peiros Shvi's, treating them as commodities. Says Rashi, l'fichach ein moisrim lehem damim. That doesn't allow us to give them money. Likach mehem klum, to buy Shvi's fruit from them. Likach mehem klum b'damim. Duka over, l'fnei evil l'sitem michshu, you're presenting a stumbling block in front of the Ami Eretz. You're causing them to transgress, to misuse, to divert Shvi'is monies for other purposes, for hoarding, for long-term investments. That's not a fulfillment of la'achla. So generally not, except for yoisim mazon shalosh sudas, meaning don't give them too much, but if it's only a daily allowance, money that he can use to purchase 3 sudas worth of food, that's considered a daily provision, that's daily use, that's not considered something which can be used, that we have to suspect is being used for long-term investment. Aval mazon gimel moisrim kedei chayev, as much as he needs for a day's worth of eating. Dikel meim el sudas Shabbos etzar. We can speculate that he needs it for Shabbos. Shabbos needs 3 sudas. Now, we're speaking during the week. Right? How do 3 meals come to play? Says Rashi, because once it has been established that 3 meals are considered a daily provision, we allow that throughout the week as well. We're not mechalik. Kivan shu huta b'erev Shabbos. Huta l'kol yimais ha-Shabbos. Okay, so in conclusion, you meant to refrain from handing over perish, a demei perish for yistam ha'aretz, because he might misuse it. He might be planning on investing it and hoarding it, which is not the true fulfillment, the true kiyam of the what Shvi'is fruit was meant for. But if it's within 3 sudas, that's considered daily provision. That's a tzurich hayayim, and that you can give him. Oh, so that explains Al Gemara. The lulav doesn't seem to be a concern, as we're going to see later, but the estrig, which was picked on Shvi'is, is kodesh b'kdusha Shvi'is. It's meant to be eaten, consumed now, on Shemitah itself, not meant to be used for long-term investment. And just as the peri itself has kedusha, we're going to learn later in the sugya, the money given in exchange for that fruit also acquires kedusha Shvi'is and has to be consumed that year within the time frame of beer. We're going to see that as well later, that there's a zman beer, which means that you have to consume the Shvi'is produce itself or its and its money. The money received in exchange which has that kedusha as well. It has to be consumed within the time frame of beer, which means as long as that product is still available out in the field for the animals to eat. So you're limited. And once it's unavailable, you have to go get rid of what you have. So the concept is that Shemitah fruit isn't just a commodity like any other commodity. It's food meant for consumption within the designated time frame. So giving the Ami Eretz money in exchange for his estrig is problematic because he might not fulfill its designation properly. Now Tosis points out the fact that we don't allow you to give money in exchange for the estrig, apparently we're speaking that this money is more than 3 meals worth of money. He has a kasha in the Mishnah Me'ilah, it's mashma, then estrig is only worth a pruta. So he says, yeah, that's an estrig puzzle, which is meant for achila. Avalocha, in the words of Tosis, he says, Avalocha, kasher. We're talking about estrig kasher, v'hadar, it's a beautiful estrig. V'hadar lebracha, dom of yukarm, it's quite expensive. This is a riot to the estrig dealers. So it's more than a pruta, it's more than 3 meals worth. It doesn't have to be $100, but more than 3 meals worth is certainly fair value. Okay, getting back to the Gemara, two lines from the bottom. So in the midst of the Braisa, don't hand Dmei Peir Shvius Damaretz. Continues the Braisa, V'mosar, and if he did, what happens if he did it? We apply a penalty. Yoimar. So the one who gave it should say, Hari Mois Halolo, you Mechulalin. The money that I gave him should be Mechulal, meaning the Kedusha of that money should be transferred Al Peiros Sheyesh Li B'Teich Pesi, on fruit that I have in my home. Ubo Va'Oichlan B'Kedusha Shvius, then he has to go ahead and eat that fruit with Kedusha Shvius, fulfilling all the restrictions and limitations that Shvius produce has. Says Rashi on top, Ubo Chavar Zeh, this Chavar, this Erlich person, has to go ahead and eat that fruit as though it's Shvius. Va'Oichl Oysim Aperis B'Kedusha Shvius. What exactly is Kedusha Shvius? Says Rashi, you have to eat it the way it's meant to be eaten. You can't abuse it. You can't destroy it. Achila, v'shtia, v'sicha, v'adlokas haner. Shehein ha'nos ha'motoris ben, k'dem ha'farash m'sech ha'shvius. When we speak about Kedusha Shvius, what we mean is, use it properly. Use it the way it's meant to be used. For eating, for drinking, for smearing, and even for lighting in there. Atosis makes a point of mentioning that this is only a knas because it doesn't really work, at least according to some shitas. Once you've given over the money, it's no longer in your possession. How could you manipulate that kedusha or say, well, that kedusha sitting on the money in the Amar, it's possession, should get transferred onto something else. It's no longer in your possession to do that. So this says, according to that shita, it would only be a knas, where you give him a penalty for not observing the halachas properly, for handing over money to the Amaretz. He has to go set aside new fruit in exchange of that money. Continues the Braisa. Vamed v'mamurim. When is this allowance given? Meaning, you're not meant to hand over money to the Amaretz if it's more than shalish sudas. But up until three sudas, you're okay. Vamed v'mamurim. When is that allowed? B'lokech min ha-mufkar. When you noticed that the Amaretz got his supply of fruit from a sada which was hefker, so the laws of Shemitah were properly observed. In that case, you don't really have grounds for suspicion. You don't really see that he's abusing the Shemitah and the halachas of Shemitah. So in that case, go ahead and give him some money in exchange of that fruit. Avo b'lekech min ha-mishumar, if you see the Amaretz is neglecting the laws of Shemitah. He brought a supply of fruit from a sada which was mishumar, which was under lock and key. It was guarded. It was not hefker. In that case, you see that he's up to no good. You see, he's not keeping the laws of Shemitah. And now there's a chashad that he's going to take your money and hoard it and invest it, not consume it on Shemitah itself. You see, he has business interests. You see, he's watching his field. He's saving the fruit to profit from them. So although he's selling you just a small amount, well, it's just a ploy. He's doing it incrementally, so it wouldn't be noticeable. Selling a bit here and a bit there, so that it's not obvious that he's actually profiting and dealing with Peir Shvius. So therefore, the Braisa says, in that case, Avo b'lekech v'nem shumar, afilu b'kechatzi yisr asr. Can't even buy a half a Iser, small coin, half of that coin's worth of food from him, because he's going to take that money and invest it and not properly fulfill the mitzvah shvius. Okay, so bottom line is, if you have grounds for suspicion, don't give him any money. Otherwise, up until three sudas is okay, but past that is problematic. That explains the halacha in the Mishnah. You're not meant to buy the esrog from the Amoris. Esrog is worth more than three sudos of money. And therefore, get it as a gift, or at least include it into the price of the lulav. Says the Gemara, Masir Rav Sheshes. Sheshes has a kash. Umin ha-mufkar. When you see the Amoris bringing the produce from a sada, which is hefkar. Are we still limited? Gimel sudos v'sulai? Can only hand him three meals worth of money and no more? Very many. Listen to this kash. We're going to have a list of wild-growing plants and vegetables which are uncultivated and presumed to be hefker. Hafegim, Vayar Buzim, Vashitim, Vachagugugois, Vakuspa Shabaharim, which grow in the mountains, which are uncultivated, Vakarpas, Shabanaharas, that grow along the streams, which are uncultivated, Vagagar Shal Efer, Gagar, which grows in the pasture, again, uncultivated, wild growing plants and vegetables. All these, even though they're Roy Lachila, they're Pturn, Mena Maser, because Hefker is not Chayiv and Maser. Number one. Number two, v'nikachin mikol adam shvi'is. They can be purchased from anybody on Shemitah. Why? L'fi she'ein kayetzu ber nishma. We assume that this type of thing is not something which is guarded. It's presumed to be hefker, and you have no reason to suspect that the fellow selling it to you, even though he's an amaretz, had abused the halachas of Shemitah. We assume he just picked it off the forest and give him money in exchange as long as it's within three sudas. Sorry, so the Braisa doesn't say anything about three sudas. You can buy it without any concerns. Oh, that's a kasha on Al Gemara. That sets down a limit of three sudas and no more. Just before we continue, it's interesting to point out Tosfos Rabbi Natam has a chiddush in the Gemara. He says that Mishumar is asur ba'achila. See, Rashi had a different approach. He said when it's Mishumar, then you have grounds for suspicion that this Amaretz is up to no good. He's going to abuse, he's going to misuse, misdirect the fruit or the money received in exchange for that fruit. But the actual fruit itself, according to Rashi, doesn't seem to really be asur, even though it wasn't hefker. That doesn't affect the isra on the actual fruit. You can have the fruit as long as you eat it properly within the prescribed time frame, and like we said before, la'achil le'vashtia, use it for its intended function. Tosfos has a chiddush. He says that something which was mishumar on Shemitah, so the halachas of Shemitah were not properly observed, it wasn't left hefker, you cannot have that fruit. It's asur b'achil. So according to Tosfos, when you see it's mishumar, the reason why you can't buy it is because it's asur b'achil. So the straightforward is the actual fruit is asur b'achil. Okay, so getting back to this halacha here, when he's coming and offering you something which is uncultivated and presumed to be hefker, you can buy it without any limitations, regardless of how much, regardless of quantity or value. Who moisev lo? Who mefarek lo? Rav Sheshes, who asked this kashi, himself provided an answer. Bichdei man shano. Actually, this braisa was speaking within the three suda limitation. That's all. So it is compatible with our braisa earlier. Within three sudas, you could buy. So mun means provision. So one day's provision could be purchased because it's a reasonable amount of money you're giving him to buy his daily provision and not to use as investment. We're speaking about one day's provision. My mashma dahai man lishna de mezoinu. Where do we find that man is something which indicates provision? The king provided them. He provided them with tzarchis u'da, Rashi says. So we find that man vayiman is referring to provisions. And here as well, we're speaking about buying the amount of produce which would yield him mamain enough for three sudas and no more. Incidentally, we find that Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar referred to the man as man. Pasuk says they didn't know what it was. Lo yadu, so they called it man. Why man? According to this Gemara, it's very gishmak. Man means provision. You see, the man was an undefined entity. We learned this back in Maseches Yuma that it was all up to the person. It tasted and perhaps even felt according to what you had in mind. So the man was an as yet undefined entity, right? On the receiver's end, it was undefined. So the only way to refer to it is by using the word man. It's a provision. Hashem gave. It's a giving from Hashem, but has yet to be defined by the receiver. Okay, so getting back to our sugya, you may not buy the esrig from the Amoritz because you may not hand him dmei peiros shvi'is, which he might misuse. But the lulav doesn't seem to be a concern. In fact, the Gemara tells us, if you have no other alternative, just include the esrig in the price of the lulav. Says the Gemara, ihachi. What do you mean? If that's the case, lulav nami. How could you buy the lulav? The lulav also has the same concern. It's kadosh b'kedusha shvi'is. And by purchasing that lulav from the Amoraim, in effect, you're giving him money, which is kadosh b'kedusha shvi'is, which he might misuse. Answers the Gemara, no. The lulav is different. Lulav bar shishis. It grew on the sixth year, on Erev Shemitah. Ha-nechnas the shvi'isu, which entered Shemitah, meaning it was picked on Shemitah, in which case, it's not kadosh b'kedusha shvi'is, because it primarily grew last year. So lulav doesn't pose a concern. Yochi, if that's the case, esrog nami. Esrog as well is a bas shishis. It's really a sixth year esrog, ha-nechnas the shvi'isi, which merely entered and was picked on Shemitah. We're speaking about Sukkot, which is 2 weeks into the seventh year. It must have grown last year. So just as the lulav is not kadosh, nor is the esrog. Answers the Gemara, no, esrog is different. Esrog basa lekita azlinan. The esrog is determined by when it's picked. So unlike other fruit trees, which are determined by when they budded, when they started growing, such as the lulav, which grew last year, we just picked this year, which is not considered kaddish, the esrog is different. Why is esrog different than any other fruit tree? Let's go down to Rashi. 7 lines from the bottom. It says, Rashi, esrog basa lekitas lina. The cholok mishari lana. It's very different than other trees. Vidinik yorok. And it's a din like a vegetable. Sholchu bay basa lekita, which follows the point of picking. That determines its status. That establishes, that categorizes the vegetable. You want to know which year to attribute it to? The year that it was picked on. Likewise, the esrog has the same concept. Why, says Rashi? What does the esrog have in common with a vegetable? Mishum de gadol al kol mayim. Kedamrin bar shashana. You see, unlike a typical fruit tree, which just draws its sustenance from natural sources, supplied by the rains. Esrog is a delicate item. We had this a couple of days ago. The esrog is something sensitive, delicate. It has to be cultivated and tended to constantly, and as well as being watered constantly, for it to properly develop. So it's good al kol mayim, not only rainwater, has to manually be supplied as well. In that respect, it's similar to a vegetable. As the one Rosh Hashanah explains, utzvu v'ilonis, as opposed to grains and other trees, gedelin al megishamim, they're sustained by rainwaters. The estrog, on the other hand, is gadol al kol mayim. Shemash k'noyse tomet k'yerek, k'daminim per kama k'dush. So when it comes to other fruit trees, we follow the year on which it began to grow. So it's attributed to last year. It began to bud, it got its sap last year. It grew as a result of last year's rain season, right? So it's attributed to last year's season. It's last year's crop. It's last year's product, even though it was picked this year. As opposed to a yerek, or even an estrog, which needs to be tended to, watered constantly, for its sustained growth. It doesn't really attribute to last year. It follows the year that it was picked on. Because now you have a fruit. Now you have the pre. If you wouldn't have taken care of it, it wouldn't have developed properly. So it's not really attributed to last year. It's not last year's crop. It has to be constantly cultivated and developed. So it's constantly dependent on your cultivation, on your watering. So it's not attributed to last year's crop. When you pick it, that's what determines its year. So this esrog, which was picked on Shemitah, it's related to Shemitah. It has Kedusha Shemitah. Says the Gemara, 5 lines in the bottom. How could you say that? How could you say that an esrog has Kedusha Shemitah just because it was picked today? That's perhaps a spoiler when it comes to Maaser. You see, Trumas and Maaser are pre-related halachas. So over there I understand. Typically, a fruit tree relates to last year because that's when it began to develop and to bud. It got its sap last year. You know, the Gemara Shoshana says, Rashi explains that the seraf is oila be'ilon on tesvav. B'shvat, tu b'shvat, that's when its growth is initiated and triggered, and it lived off last year's rain season, so it's connected to last year. And it pretty much goes on autopilot. You don't have to take care of it. Last year's sap and rains, and that precipitated its growth, so it's related to last year. It's considered last year's crop, despite the fact that it was picked this year, right? As opposed to a vegetable, which needs constant watering. Right? If you neglect to water it, what happens to a vegetable? It just dries out and dies out. So it doesn't really relate to the year in which it began to grow. It's not like a fruit tree, which is pretty much on autopilot. This one needs to be tended to and watered and sustained all throughout its growth. So until you have the fruit and you picked it, you haven't really determined its status, and it relates to the year in which it was picked. Now you have it's this year's crop, it's not last year's. And esrog as well, since it has that element, that watering, that manual watering component. So when it comes to maaser, we say, it's this year's fruit. It doesn't relate to last year. It's not last year's crop. It wouldn't have grown on its own. You needed to constantly take care of it, and it's an ongoing growth process, which doesn't really relate to last year. It relates to the year that it was picked on. Okay. That's because maaser is a din on the pre. So it's a question of, is it last year's pre or this year's pre? By the way, what's the nafkah meaning? Because every year in Shemitah, every year of the 7-year set of Shemitah has a different halachas, right? The first year, you do Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni, second year as well. The third year of Shemitah, you go Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani. So the dinim revolve and rotate. So that's the nafkamina of knowing, that's the point of figuring out which year, which crop this thing relates to. Right? So if the fruit tree began growing last year, it has last year's maaser. Vegetable, based on when it was picked. Esrog, based on when it was picked. It's this year's crop, this year's produce. I understand when it comes to maaser, you're going to apply that formula. But when it comes to Shemitah, Kedusha Shemitah, you see, that's not necessarily limited to fruits. You have to leave the land fallow. It's an earth-related mitzvah. Kedusha's karka, Kedusha's haaretz. Right? So when it comes to Shemitah, everybody agrees. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Everybody agrees that by Shemitah-related halachis, even the asterisk would follow the Sh'as Chanota, when it began to grow, when it began to bud. When the Eretz started producing that fruit, and that fruit is like sort of an extension of the Eretz. So in that sense, when it comes to Kedushas Eretz, Shemitah, which is earth-related, ground-related, Eretz-related, once the Eretz began producing that fruit on Shemitah, then that fruit has Kedushas Shvi'is. So it's not dependent upon when you pick the Esrog, rather, when it began to grow. So how can you say that somebody buys an Esrog 2 weeks into Shemitah? It's problematic. It's Kaddish B'Kedusha Shvi'is because it was picked on Shemitah. Picking? That doesn't determine the status. It doesn't establish the year with respect to Shemitah. Shemitah is based on when it began to grow, which is last year. In this case, it began to grow last year. It's last year's crop with respect to Shemitah. It relates to last year's earth, which is not Kaddish. Okay, knowing this, let's see everything inside. 5 lines from the bottom. So, the Gemara concluded that Esrog follows Likita, when it was picked. But that's not meant to be so when it comes to Shemitah. V'ha bein Rabban Gamliel, u'bein Rabban Lezer, both these Amorim, Ashtanoim, would agree that when it comes to Shemitah, lini Shvi'is, Esrog basar chanot azlinan, even Esrog would follow when it began to bud. This not. The Mishnah says, Esrog shovel ilan begimot rachim. There are 3 things that an Esrog tree has in common with a typical fruit tree. V'layarek b'derech echad has 1 thing in common with vegetables. Shavu ilin begimel drachim. What are the 3 things that an esrog has in common with a fruit tree? La'arla, you have to observe the 3 years of arla. Ularavai, the 4th year, the pears are kaddish. V'lashvius. So when it comes to determining the year with respect to kedusha shvius, just as a fruit tree follows chanota, the year on which the fruit began to bud. That's what determines their status. So if they began to bar on Shemitah, they're Kaddish. It's irrelevant of when they were picked. Likewise in Esrik. When it comes to Shemitah, it follows the Chanata, the initiation of that growth. And Esrik has one thing in common with vegetables, as we mentioned. Shibishas likitasa yisurai, the year with respect to Chiyuv and Maser, is determined by when it was picked. Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Esrik shovel ilim l'chol davar. He disagrees, he says. An Esrik is just like any other fruit tree. Fact is, it draws sap from the ground. Fact is, it does draw from rainwater, and primarily, it's a naturally occurring thing. You have to add a little of your own, but the ikar, sustenance comes from the ground. It's a naturally occurring product, and therefore, he says, irrelevant of whether we're speaking about Shemitah or determining the year of Maser, an Esrik, like any other fruit tree, follows the year of Chanata when it began, when the growth was triggered. Okay, but in any case, according to Rambam Gamliel, we find that Chiluk. So although when it comes to Maser, an Esrik is similar, is equated to a Yerek, because it needs that Kol Mayim, that constant cultivation and tending to. So it's not considered last year's crop. The Maser is determined by when it was picked, but that's when it's a Maser-related discussion. A product-related discussion. This product isn't last year's product, it's this year's product. Okay, I understand. But when it comes to Shemitah, even Rav Gamliel clearly agrees. Shemitah status is determined by when it began to grow. Because that's a karka-related issue. That's a Kedushas Haaretz. And the Haaretz began to produce it last year. So what's the issue with the Esrik on Shemitah? Why can't you buy the Esrik 2 weeks into Shemitah? It's not Kaddish. It's last year's crop. Says the Gemara, you know what? It's actually a third Shita. Another Shita which will hold that even when it comes to Shemitah, since the Esrik needs constant cultivation, it doesn't relate to last year. It's not last year's crop. So if it was picked on Shemitah, it's Kaddish, B'Kedusha Shvi'is, and that's a Shita of Al-Mishnah. Who the Amar Kehatana, our Mishnah, follows the following sheet. The Sani, Amar B'Yesi, Abtumus, his name of Atana. Heyed, he testified, Mishum Chamisha's name of five elders. Esrig Achar Lekita L'Maser, when it comes to Maser, had he determined the year when it comes to an Esrig, the year on which it was picked. The Rabbi Seinu, our Rabbis, Nimnu B'Usha, they took account amongst themselves in the town of Usha, and they decided, they concluded, V'Amru, Bein l'maser, bein l'shvius. Whether maser, whether shvius, it's all the same. Esrik follows l'kita. 1 second, says the Gemara, whoever mentioned Shemitah, why are you inserting Shemitah into the equation? Shvius man dechar shemei. Rabbi Yossi, the name of Chamisha, he never said shvius. Why do we respond by saying, well, Shemitah as well? Who discussed Shemitah? Man dechar shemei. And says the Gemara, chesur mechser, vachitani, the Braisa is meant to be learned as though it's missing some words. And we learn it like this. Barisa begins, Esrig achar lekita lamas. When it comes to determining its maser status, we follow the picking. Because now, you have the pre. This pre relates to this year. V'achar chanata l'shvius. However, when it comes to shvius-related discussions, that follows chanata. That's when the ground began producing this Esrig. And if that year was Shemitah, the Esrig is Kaddish. Irrelevant of when it was picked. So we are drawing that line, that distinction between Maser, which is Lakita, and Shviz, which is Chanata. That's the Tanakama. V'Rabbi Seinu Nimna B'Usha V'Amru. And our Rabbeim and Usha responded by saying no. They concluded that an Esrig is Achar Lakita. Bein L'Maser Ben L'Shviz. So this is the Shita we're looking for. And this is the sheet of our Mishnah. Since an Esrig is Godal Kol Mayim, needs to be constantly watered and taken care of, it's not considered last year's crop. It doesn't relate to last year's season, last year's sap, last year's rain season. No. It's an ongoing process. And until you pick it, it's not done. So how do you determine the status of the Esrig? which year, which master is it going to give? Is it Shemitah or not Shemitah? Well, it all depends when it was picked. So as Tosis points out, Shalosh Machlokes L'davar. We actually have three shittos when it comes to an asterisk. Okay, let's review those three shittos. Okay, let's just backtrack a bit. So we discussed the difference between a Yarak and a Ilan. Now we have two applications. We have Hilchas of Maser, right, because every year of the Shemitah set, of those 7 years of Shemitah, have different halachas with respect to the Chiyuv Maser. Then we have the Shaila of whether or not it's Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvi'is. So when it comes to a vegetable, which needs constant watering, constant cultivation, you follow the Lakita. It doesn't really relate to the year that it began to grow. It relates to the year on which it was picked. Now you have the pre. This pre connects to this year with respect to Maser, with regard to Shvi'is as well. On the other hand, we have the Ilan, typical fruit tree, which draws from the seraf, the sap. It draws from the natural water sources. Last year's rain season is what got it to grow. So that follows chanota, budding, growing. That's what determines its Maser and Shvi'is status, irrelevant of when it was picked, because the main growth is attributed to last year. Oh, now we get to the asterisk. Now it's tricky. We have three shittos. Rav Leza says, an asterisk, like any other fruit tree, its primary growth is stimulated by natural sources, by the sap, by last year's rain season. We don't differentiate. Everything follows chanata, when it began to bud, when it began to grow. So it's last year's crop. Rav Gamliel says, I agree when it comes to shvi'is. That's an earth-related concept. Last year's Oretz is what triggered its growth. So when it comes to Shemitah, it's attributed to last year. If last year was Shemitah, the Esrog is Kaddish. But when it comes to Maser, which is a product-related concept, it wasn't a finished product. It was totally dependent upon constant cultivation and watering. You can't say it grew from last year's sustenance, last year's rain season, last year's sap, because it needs constant tending, constant watering. So when it comes to Maser, picking is what determines. Now it's a complete product. It's this year's crop, this year's Maser. We had a third sheet of Rabbein Seinu Be'usha, which happens to be the Tana of Al Mishnah as well. Don't differentiate. They take it the other direction. They say, well, an Esrog is so close to a Yerek, irrelevant of Dini Maser or Shvi'is. You follow the Lakita, and therefore in Al Mishnah you have a Esrog, which was picked on Shemitah, 2 weeks into Shemitah. So it was mostly grown before Shemitah, but it was picked on Shemitah. It's considered Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvi'is, which doesn't allow you to hand over the Dmei of that Esrog, the value of that Esrog, to the Amoraim, because that money has Kedusha Shvi'is and has to be consumed properly. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began with doubling psukim with an halal for emphasis and excitement. The bracha before halal was said by all. The bracha after halal is minhag dependent. When it comes to shvi'is fruit, you're not meant to hand money in exchange for that fruit to an ama eretz. Now, if you see him taking it from a makom mishumer, you see that he is abusing the halachas of shmita, you're not meant to hand him anything. But if he's bringing it from a makom which is hefker, then we allow you to give him up to 3 meals worth of money, which can be used for 1 day's provisions. Mishnah tells us, if you purchase a lulav and esrog from Ama Aretz, try to get him to give you the esrog b'matana, or at least include it into the price of the lulav. And the Gemara explains that we're speaking that it was picked on Shemitah. So when it comes to a lulav, an ilan follows the Sh'as Chanota. Last year is what determines its status. That's when it began to grow, and therefore that lulav picked on Shemitah is not Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvi'is, because its primary growth occurred last year, as opposed to an esrog, which needs to be watered constantly. In that sense, it's like a vegetable, in which case you follow the Sh'as Lakita, and since it was picked on Shemitah, it's considered Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvi'is. All the best, and Hatzlacha Rabbah to you.